I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. I just need a moment to breathe, James. I feel like I've been going nonstop today. How about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling the same way.
But we pause a moment to collect our breaths, to collect our collective breath, if you will, and do a podcast. Brad and James here with you on this Wednesday, October the 4th. It's spooky season. Thank goodness. I know who else is happy about that. Podgator. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for joining us, man. We're smack dab in the middle of football season. We've got plenty of that to talk about. Got a little bit of volleyball. We'll have the Athlete of the Week nominees at the end of the show. Just a reminder that you can find us every Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, online at preprally.djournal.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalsports. And, of course, be sure to visit our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, at Midtown Point in Tupelo. Got a pepperoni, got a sausage today. I think the sausage went in like 10 minutes, James.
Yeah, it had to be something like that. It was cooked very well.
Yes, it was. It was. So check out Pizza Doctor. Okay, we've got, like I said, a lot of football, including the they announced the roster for the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star football game. We'll get to that in a few minutes. First, though, volleyball. We're in the last week of the regular season. Some region seedings getting sorted out. And Tuesday night, a big one in 1-3A, region title on the line between Mantachie and Alcorn Central. And we had Brendan Farrell up there for that one. He covered it, and Alcorn Central got the win 3-0. I covered these teams when they played each other on Saturday, and Alcorn also won that one 3-0. I mean, going into the weekend, it was still kind of up for grabs. Even Belmont still had a chance to win it. They could have had a three-way tie at the top, but Alcorn Central, took care of business, finished the region schedule with a 5-1 record that only lost coming to Belmont. They split with Belmont, swept Boonville, swept Mantachie. And this is a team that I think in 3A could go all the way. I mean, they still have Belmont to contend with, even though Belmont doesn't have Kirsten Moody out for the season with that knee injury, best player in the area last year. But I've seen both teams play, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them match up in the playoffs down the line. And speaking of the playoffs, they begin Saturday for classes 1-4, and then 5, 6, and 7 start next Tuesday, which will be the second round for 1-4, because they have one less round, I think that's why that's scheduled that way. But the regular season ends Thursday, so teams will have a little bit of time to get ready for, and then the brackets aren't completely set, still got a few region standings that haven't been set, because again, we've still got some games, even got a game tonight, TCPS is playing Thrasher, so still trying to sort some of those out, but we'll have the full schedule of matchups at djournal.com and in the Daily Journal once we actually get all those matchups figured out. But, it'll be 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A on Saturday starting the playoffs. So I'll be at a match somewhere on that day. Okay, now football. Take a quick look back at Week 6. Had some big results. Some interesting results, James, including the game I was at, Tupelo and West Point. At Tupelo, and West Point pulled it out 21-20, had to make a comeback in the second half. Because Tupelo, I won't say they controlled the first half because, I mean, West Point's one scoring drive took almost a quarter, nearly 12 minutes off the clock. But Tupelo was able to take advantage when it did have the ball and took the lead in the halftime, 20-7. But could not score on that defense in the second half. And, that Tupelo offense, I know you're going to go talk to Ty Harden here in a few minutes to write in advance on the next game coming up, but that offense had some issues in the second half, obviously. I mean, that's a good West Point defense, but they've given up some points this year, so I was kind of surprised. I mean, Tupelo was able to move the ball, but they had 2 fourth downs they could not convert, and that ended up being a huge difference. And they also had a real bad mistake on a kickoff return where both return men ran up the field to block and nobody stayed back to field the ball West Point recovered it at the 9, scored 2 plays later. And so you had Cannon Daniels doing his thing. I mean, you know, the Florida commit rushed for 121 yards and a touchdown. And then Quinterian Tillman Evans, he's quarterback slash running back, had a nice night, had 2 touchdown runs and 88 yards on the ground. So, James, I mean, this is 2 losses in a row for Tupelo. They're both non-region games, so they don't matter in that sense. But, well, I mean, you and I were discussing this on the post-game Instagram Live on Friday night about, you know, what does Tupelo do from here? And I think they've just got to figure out what went wrong, especially on offense, and get it fixed in a hurry.
Yeah, a lot of it to me just comes down to execution. From what I saw, from what I heard out of the West Point game, and from what I saw out of the Houston game the week before, there were just times and big moments where they zigged when they should have zagged, or they zagged when they should have zigged. And I'm very curious to see how they handle that. I think obviously from a roster standpoint, we knew going in, and we still know that they are a very, very complete team.
Oh, yeah.
Going to be able to compete with anybody. To me, it just comes down to when you get in those big moments, are you able to either avoid a turnover or mm-hmm. just make a big play happen and put your team over the top?
Yeah, and I thought the defense played really well. I mean, Cannon Daniels got his yards, and so did Evans. I mean, they ran for over 200 yards, but they never popped like a really big play. I think they had one play of 20-plus yards. Otherwise, it was like 5 yards here, 4 yards there, 8 yards there. So credit to West Point for just getting those yards in small chunks. And, you know, they keep doing that for 4 quarters, that's going to wear defense down. But Tupelo, I thought, played – I mean, they forced West Point to drive down the field. I mean, they had that 19-play scoring drive. I mean, that's a lot of opportunities for the offense to make a mistake. So, you know, good on Tupelo for making them do that, and good on West Point for, you know, not turning the ball over and punching it in the end zone. So, big win for West Point, now at 3-2 on the season. Now, you had a Tupelo Christian and Hatley, James. This looked like a fun little matchup and ended up being a pretty good game. A Tupelo Christian got ahead, 27-6, held on to win 27-22.
Yeah, it was a 6-point game, and then Brewer Bailey had a long touchdown pass to, I think, Jackson Aldridge right before halftime, at 13-6. Then Tupelo Christian on their first 2 drives scores touchdowns to make it 27-6. But then all of a sudden, Hatley just kind of found another gear. That offense just kept taking what the defense gave them and was able to take advantage of opportunities, and eventually got to be a 27-22 game. But Tupelo Christian's defense was able to tighten up, and Brewer Bailey just made an interception to seal the game. I mentioned it on the reaction show on Friday night / Saturday morning. I think he's one of the more valuable players in the area when you talk about what he means to that team offensively and defensively.
Oh, yeah.
Just in every single facet, he's just brings so much to that team, and he alone might be able to get them on a pretty deep run in 1A.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Brewer Bailey does a little bit of everything for that team. I mean, they've got some other guys that do well, like John Scott and Wyatt Wheeler. But, I mean, they kind of go as Brewer Bailey goes. So, nice win there for TCPS. Looking ahead, a lot of big games this week. The game of the week, that's what we're calling it, is going to be Nettleton at Moorville. Region 4-3A opener for Moorville. Nettleton opened region play last week, beat Aberdeen. But Moorville going into this one shorthanded. Wyatt McDaniels, the freshman quarterback who's been so good, is out for the year, suffered a shoulder injury last week against Smithville, and has been ruled out, and it's on his throwing arm. So, yeah, that's a huge loss for Moorville, and he just hated for the kid. He was having such a good year. And, you know, they do at least have a guy who's played the position before they can come in. Cody Thompson, he was the starter last year, threw for 1,000 yards, and he played well last week in relief of McDaniels after he went down hurt. So still, I mean, McDaniels was such a dynamic. I mean, I haven't seen Cody Thompson play, so, you know, I don't know what the offense exactly is going to look like. Coach Jimmy Young said they can still pretty much do what they've been doing in the offense with him back there. I mean, he does have a really good understanding of it, so but McDaniels was just one of those guys that you can tell is just going to be a really good quarterback, already is, and could be a big-time quarterback prospect down the line. So, excuse me, I called him Cody Thompson. Brody Thompson, my apologies. I knew I was going to mess that up. Brody Thompson, okay. Y'all can erase that email you're about to send me. Yeah, Brody Thompson, like I said, started last year, so he knows the offense. And, you know, he's going up against a Nettleton defense that has given up some points and some yards this year. Really, to me, the just as big a concern is, can Morville stop Braylon Williams, the Nettleton quarterback, who accounted for 7 touchdowns last week, having an unbelievable season running and throwing the ball. But that Morville defense, man, it has been tough. They're giving up less than 6 points a game. They've been really stingy against the run. I wrote something earlier this week about the remaining undefeated teams in our area, and, of course, Morville is one of them at 6-0. But that Morville defense is only allowing 112 rushing yards a game, 3.3 yards a carry. I mean, that's a far cry from what they had been doing in recent years where they couldn't stop anybody. Brooks Van Landingham, Crimson Rock, love that name. Seth Conley, guys like that have all been playing really well for Morville. So I give Morville a chance, but I, all that said, I think McDaniels not playing could make a huge difference. I mean, you got to give the edge at quarterback at least to Nettleton on this one.
Definitely, but I am very interested to see how that matchup between Nettleton's offense and Morville's defense goes, because I think you can make the argument that neither side has seen anything quite as strong as the other, if that makes sense.
Right.
I got to see Nettleton play Saltillo about a couple of weeks ago, and to me, Braylon Williams is one of those players who you look at and initially you ask yourself, why is he trying to make something bigger? Like if you're in trouble, or like if you're getting run out of the pocket, a lot of times he'll just throw it away. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's a guy who will just find an opportunity either downfield, or he'll keep running and eventually find a 20-yard gain. And it's just a lot of those times you look at him go and he's like, why is he trying to stretch the play out? And then he makes something really big happen, and you're like, oh, that's why, because he's capable of doing it.
Because he
so,
can.
So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how Morville responds to that, because he is the type of guy who just keeps a play going until something opens up.
Yeah, and so that's Nettleton at Morville, Region 4-3A. And 2-7A, Tupelo opens its region schedule with a trip to Madison Central. Tupelo now 4-2 on the season. Madison Central comes in 3-2. Tupelo beat this MC team twice last year, once in the regular season and again in the playoffs, and had little trouble with them. I know they lost some really good players from that team, but looking at their numbers, I mean, they've got some guys that look like they've stepped in and kind of, you know, capably filled those shoes. Quarterback is named Benjamin Picarella. He's thrown 5 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So I'm thinking Tupelo's first order of business is try to rattle him, because Tupelo can create some turnovers with that big defensive front and all those guys in the secondary. And never even the linebackers, hello, Tristan Jernigan and all those guys. So this is a game Tupelo, I think, should win, and they definitely need to win after losing 2 in a row. I mean, they haven't lost 2 in a row in a couple of years. Obviously didn't lose at all in the regular season last year. So this is going to be as much a mental toughness check as anything for Tupelo. Okay, let's look at one more. Hatley and Bruce. It's kind of a low-key good matchup here, isn't it, man? I mean, Hatley, off to that 4-2 start, you know, they played, like we just mentioned, them against TCPS, played them close. Bruce is 5-1. J. Cole Williams, the quarterback, has done really well under first-year head coach Chuck Darbone. So, it's a non-region game, but I think it'll be a really good test for both teams as they get closer to region play, give each other a good idea of what they need to fix, what they're especially good at. And, you know, I just think it'll be a good, fun, close game, and it's a chance for me to see not only the Williams kid, the J. Cole Williams, but also Kaysen Williams, the running back for Hatley. You saw him last week, and he's putting up some good numbers this year.
He is, and he's just that kind of guy where it took at least 2, maybe 3 guys to bring him down, let alone slow him down.
Right.
You know, I think that as he's just one of those guys that the more the ball is in his hands, the better Hatley's going to do.
Right. Okay, I mentioned earlier that they announced the Mississippi roster for the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star football game. Of course, that game is for the top seniors in each state. They'll meet December 16th at Southern Miss. And so it's always a big game every year. A lot of pride at stake, obviously. We had several guys from the area, of course, get picked. 9 to be precise, and including our cover boys from the football preseason magazine. All three of those guys, offensive linemen, made the cut. Isaiah Autry at Itawamba AHS, William Eccles at Houston, and then Kobe Williams at Amory. So those are three of the 9 area players to be selected. Also had 2 players from Tupelo, Tristan Jernigan, the linebacker, and Caden Hodges, the offensive lineman. Had 2 guys from Starkville, no surprise, quarterback Trey Petty, receiver Braylon Burnside. And then you had, of course, Cannon Daniels at West Point, and you had Jathan Hatch, who does everything at Bakersfield. They took him as a defensive back for this game. And I think that's it. I think I got all 9.
Was there one from West Point? Was there another from West Point?
Just the one. Okay, just Cannon Daniels. So had 9 guys from the area. And they also announced the rosters for the Bernard Blackwell Classic, the North-South game, as it's known, also for seniors. And several, I'm not going to go through. We had like 17 guys. I'm not going to go through all of that. Thought there were maybe some snubs. We mentioned Brewer Bailey a while ago. Don't see him on here somehow. Isn't he a senior? He's a senior.
He's a senior, yeah.
Yeah, so a little surprised by that. But anyway, still, you're going to leave some good players out. It's just the way it goes. It's a select group. So congrats to all those guys. And let's close things out with Athletes of the Week. The nominees this week, of course, we'll put the poll on Twitter. You go vote for the male and female Athletes of the Week. Nominees this week, female athletes, Avon Mathis of Kossuth Volleyball. Then you got Abby Miller of Ingemar Volleyball. And then Whitley Miller of Pine Grove Volleyball. No relation, I guess, but I don't know. Male athlete nominees, Jamaja Mays of Calhoun City Football, Keyshawn Robbins of Saltillo Football, and Braylon Williams of Nettleton Football. So, again, that poll... gosh, it should be on Twitter by the time you're listening to this. So check it out at DJournalSports and vote for Athletes of the Week. That's all the time we have. Thanks again for joining us. We're here every Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to check out the sponsor, Pizza Doctor at Midtown Point in Tupelo. And for James and Podgator, I'm Brad. We'll see you next time.